with us here. Well, you'll find my text then in John 18 and verse 8. John 18 and verse 8. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. Dear congregation, here in the Garden of Gethsemane, we consider the Lord's amazing concern, not only to be faithful to the Father, but also his amazing concern for his disciples. And we note it there, particularly in verse 8. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. Well, as we consider this morning, we see here the covenant head, the mediator, thinking not only of his true disciples then, but all his people. And we are led to consider here this morning that he stood in our place as the sufferings intensified for him. His love was constant and his concern for us as well. Now at this time in the Garden of Gethsemane, the sufferings of Jesus continued and intensified. He found himself in great agony of soul. He was burdened by the iniquities of his people and the Father's wrath. But then further, Satan intensified his attack. He previously said in John 14, verse 30, the prince of this world cometh. And particularly now in the Garden of Gethsemane, the prince of this world, Satan, came. And he came, and that attack, that a bruising attack, was so endured by Christ in the garden. The betrayer also would come with a group of men to apprehend him and take him away. Now our Lord had suffered throughout his life. Remember those words in Isaiah 53, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as we think of his sufferings and his humiliation, it began with his incarnation. He suffered throughout his life. We read in John 12 that he was troubled. But here in the Garden of Gethsemane, his sufferings now began to intensify, and they would continue to do so till the climax of his sufferings were endured on the cross of Calvary. His sufferings intensified here in the garden. Yet in this, firstly, his mind was focused on fully obeying his Father and accomplishing redemption in full. But then secondly, as we have seen already, his heart was full of concern and affection towards his people. And right at the commencement, do we not admire Christ? He suffered because of our sins. And in the great hours of sufferings, he was in great agony. He was so burdened. Yet he so loved you, and he had such a concern for us. But we see here in the garden that certain ones came to apprehend our Lord and take him. Judas knew the place, for Jesus was found there often with his disciples. But Judas came with a band of men. And we see in this chapter our Lord puts forth a question to those that came. Verse 4, Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? Now this is interesting, isn't it? The captain of our salvation went forth. He did not depart. No, he had come to accomplish redemption in full. So he goes forth and he says to them, whom seek ye? Whom seek ye? And then again in verse 7 we read, then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Now Judas and those that were with him came with no good intent. But we see here, do we not, that our Lord was set on obeying the Father, and he had a great concern in doing good for his people. Well, we note this question in verse 7. Whom seek ye? And then we note in verse 8, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. Whom seek ye? And as we think of this question this morning, I'd like us just to open up this scene here And we consider first of all the obedience of Christ, secondly the sufferings of Christ, thirdly the love of Christ, and fourthly the care of Christ. Whom seek ye? He puts the question. He goes to them and he puts the question. Whom seek ye? You see, he was willing to obey the Father. He would not leave the field. He would fully accomplish redemption. So he goes, whom seek ye? And we are led to consider, first of all, the obedience of Christ. And we note it particularly in verse 4. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? We're given a little insight here, aren't we? Our Lord knew what was involved in accomplishing redemption. He knew that the sufferings here must intensify. So with this in mind, he says in verse 4, whom seek ye? He knew. He would obey the Father. And so he goes forth. Whom seek ye? He had agreed in the covenant of grace to the condition. And he would come to meet that condition of life. And in doing so, he would obey the Father. It was the Father's will. Notice verse 4 again. Jesus, knowing all things that should come upon him, it was the Father's will that he would suffer. In the garden a little earlier, he prayed whilst being in great agony. Matthew 26, verse 39. O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. You see his submission. He was submitting to the Father. And we see it here in verse 4. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? He would obey. So he went forth and asked the question. There was the cup of sufferings that he must fully drink. He must suffer the wrath of God. He must suffer the penalty in full for the breach of the law. So full was the cup, so heavy was the burden, that he would cry, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Now let me say that our Lord was so focused on obeying the Father, and he would do nothing but obey the Father. But do you see how full the cup was? How great the burden was? Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what agony, what sufferings. But are we not thankful he would obey without any question the Father? He was so burdened in the garden, yet he focused on the will of the Father. He would obey. He would go on to meet the condition of life in full. He didn't hide himself. He goes forth and puts the question. He would obey the will of God. We see here then the obedient servant as he asks this question. In Philippians 2 verse 8 we read, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He was obedient unto death. So we read in verse 4, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? He was sent on a mission, and he would continue to fulfill that mission here in the garden. Consider the obedience of Christ. In Psalm 40 verse 8 we read, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. And even in great agony, as we see him here in the Garden of Gethsemane, I delight to do thy will. And so we read in verse 4, he went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? The obedient servant. In Isaiah 50 verse 5 and 6 we read, the Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. Young people, children, just think of those words there. I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. And now read verse 4. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and saith unto them, whom seek ye? So as we think of this question, we must firstly consider the obedience of Christ. He would further go all the way to the cross. Remember what Peter rather said in Acts 2 verse 23, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. There was the purpose. There was the will of God, and the Son would obey. Peter goes on to write, ye have taken, and wicked hands have crucified and slain. It was the only way. The Son agreed with the Father, and the Son obeyed the Father. And are we not thankful for the obedience of Christ, even in the darkest hours of his suffering? He did not go away. He did not come down from the cross. He faced death out of love to you. Are we not thankful for the obedience of Christ? His act of obedience, he kept the law perfectly for us, but also his passive obedience. And we see it not, do we not, here in the garden. Or we can rest today in view of the obedience of Christ. Secondly, the sufferings of Christ. Verse 4, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? Now he was mindful of the covenant. He would fully obey. He was also mindful of those sufferings that would intensify. He had suffered throughout his life. Children, remember, he was weary by the well. That's amazing, isn't it? He had nowhere to sleep at times. We've all enjoyed sleeping last night in our beds, did we not? But you remember, our Lord, in suffering for us, at times had nowhere to sleep. He went without. Oh, how his sufferings intensified here now. He must fully drink that cup. He must, or we would not be saved. And he knew what he was going to face. Verse 4, Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? Now this is amazing, isn't it? He knew what he must suffer further, yet he wouldn't go away because he so loved you. And as we remember the sufferings of Christ today, be thankful for his amazing love, that he would not go away, he would not be rebellious. He did not go away. He fully suffered in accomplishing redemption. Matthew Henry wrote, he had bound himself to suffer. He had bound himself to suffer. So he puts the question, whom seek ye? He doesn't run away. He's willing to obey, and he will suffer for his people. Whom seek ye? I'm the one. He knew that the cross was before him. Those hours of intense suffering, the climax of his sufferings, when he would question, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Yet he says here in the garden, whom seek ye? Consider the sufferings of Christ briefly from this point. He would be taken, treated cruelly like a criminal, falsely accused, lied about. It's not pleasant to be lied about, is it? Our Lord was falsely accused. He was mocked. He was loved. Oh, we felt the Lord this week, haven't we? It's humbling when we consider that our Saviour was mocked for our sins and our failings this week. He was mocked. He was whipped. He was given blows, physically abused, out of love for you and me. Dear brothers and sisters, he was spat upon. That's so horrible, isn't it? When we think of spitting, it's so horrible, isn't it? Maybe somebody in the school at times spits on one. I face so horrible, isn't it? My Saviour was spat at because of my sins of this day. We've got nothing to boast of ourselves, but we can boast in Christ. How he was rejected. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, despised. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. He was amongst his own people, the Jews, but they rejected him. He was sentenced to death as a criminal. He was led to Calvary in such agony. So much was the sufferings he was facing in his body, but also in his soul. The soldiers, seeing that our Lord was so exhausted, compelled Simon Cyrene to take up the cross, to follow our Lord and help carry the cross. You see, those soldiers did not want our Lord to collapse and die there on the journey. They wanted him to get all the way. He was so exhausted, so weary with him, as he was led to Calvary. And then consider at Calvary. The cross was assembled. He was laid on it. And the nails were driven through his hands and feet. What agony he was in. And then the cross was lifted up. Such pain. As our Lord was lifted up on the cross. And the cross then was put into the socket. With no care. But just thrust in. What pain. What agony in his joints. And throughout his whole body. And there at Calvary, what a sight. He was so mocked. People stared at him. It's not nice to be stared at, is it? You know how it is when you're aware someone's looking down on you. They're staring at you. How they stared at Christ because of our sins of this day. Oh, what he endured. Oh, the sight at Calvary. Consider how it must have felt within. We can only just begin to grasp a little, and we're only really begin to grasp a little more throughout all eternity. We'll never fully grasp it. How much he endured, but just a little. In Psalm 22, verse 14, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My heart is like wax. You see there in the psalm, we're given a little sight to the sufferings of Christ at Calvary. Remember, Spurgeon speaks of Psalm 22 as the cross. And it's believed our Lord would go through this whole psalm as he was hanging there at Calvary. My heart is like wax. Some of you, I know, like candles. We do. You light the candle. What happens to the wax? It begins to melt. Consider the heart of Christ. It's melting. Under the wrath of God. What an insight to the cross and the sufferings of Christ in Psalm 22. My heart is like wax. It was melting because of the wrath of God. He was so feeling it. He was so enduring it. It was so close to his soul. He must take a true body, but also a reasonable soul. We think of the whole of his human nature. When he came into this world, he who was God took human nature, and he must have that reasonable soul to be able to so suffer and fall, to be able to have his heart melting like wax. But he cried on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then death came. His human soul and body were separated. Oh, what he suffered. His reasonable soul and true body were separated. In the incarnation, he took human nature. There's a little bit of a detail, but we think a little in taking human nature at that point. The body and a human soul, a reasonable soul, were united. Well, at Calvary, there was the separation. His body was laid in the tomb. His soul went to heaven. Of course, he as God was everywhere. But then we think of his human nature. His soul went to heaven. Oh, what he suffered. He faced death. Divine justice must be satisfied. In 1 Peter 3, verse 18, we read, for Christ also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. It was the only way. Oh, what sufferings he faced. Great offence had been given. The law had been broken. He must suffer as substitute. And there's something precious here in the words in verse 8. Here's our covenant head. Here's our trustee. Here's our substitute, our mediator in verse 8. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. Do you see it there? There's the mediator who came on behalf of a people, There's the trustee. Oh, he's mindful. Oh, what he suffered. And he voluntarily suffered. John 10, verse 18, no man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. I have power to lay it down. That's amazing, isn't it? He voluntarily suffered for you and me. He would not go away here in the garden. Whom seek ye? Gill writes, he offered himself. He willingly was apprehended by them and voluntarily suffered. Whom seek ye? The brothers and sisters in Christ, when he put forth this question, he was thinking of you. He would not go away. He would suffer for you. Oh, dear brethren, as we think of the sufferings of Christ, we've only had a glimpse. And throughout our lives, we've only had a glimpse. And in heaven, we're only really begin to understand a little more. Or as we think of the sufferings of Christ, why are we not more devoted to him? Why do we stray? Why do we ever fail? Why do we not progress more quickly? Why do we ever get self-piteous? Why do we ever get proud? Why do we ever murmur or complain? Why are we not taken up more with Christ? He's the beloved, isn't he? He's so suffered for us. Oh, to be taken up more with him. As we considered last Lord's evening, for to me to live is Christ. He's not only the source, but he's the object. Oh, look unto Jesus today. Oh, look more intently, gaze more often on him when you consider the sufferings he endured. Thirdly, as we draw to a close, the love of Christ. Verse 7, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And we have considered the sufferings of Christ. He was willing to suffer on behalf of his people, as we note there in verse 8. Are we not led here to consider the love of Christ? Did not our Lord say in John 15, verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends? Admire the love of Christ here in the garden. Whom seek ye? Here's the covenant head. Here's the captain. Whom seek ye? He was mindful of the Father's will. He was mindful of the sufferings he would endure. And he had great love towards his people. Whom seek ye? Verse 8. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. Not only his true disciples there, but he was thinking of the elect as a whole. All who believe in him. Oh, what love. How amazing is the love of Christ here. Whom seek ye? He will not run away. He so loved you, dear child of God. He was willing to suffer even more and fully accomplish redemption. He had done nothing wrong. But out of love to you, dear child of God, he said to those that came to apprehend him, whom seek ye? Here I am. Whom seek ye? What love. Here's the covenant head, displaying so much love here in the garden towards us. Whom seek ye? I so love my true disciples, let them go then. I so love all of my people. Here I am then. I am willing to suffer. Oh, what love. He knew that only he himself could fully satisfy divine justice. His people could not do it. And so in amazing love, he says in verse 8, if therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. How much he loved us. He knew we could not do it. We could never do what was required. Oh, what love. How he protected his disciples here. Let these go their way. How he acted for their good. Not only in suffering for them, but in caring for them, as we will note in a moment. What love. Husbands, you will do anything, would you not, for your wife? Well, within reason. Because of love. I heard yesterday of a certain minister, I won't mention his name, we all know who he was. He wouldn't travel on a train because he was worried about picking up something, maybe in London, because his wife is having treatment. And why did he not come to London? Because he so loved his wife and had such a concern for her. She's having treatment. He did not want to bring anything back from London in the pandemic. You see, a husband out of love will seek to do good. It's true, isn't it? The way they will seek to do what they can. To pray with them, they may do. To listen, to give a kiss, so on and so forth. Admire the love of Christ here. Let these go their way. A husband would seek to shield his wife. He is the beloved, shielding the bride. In love, let these go their way. Provide for, care for. The husband would seek to do his Christ, the faithful bridegroom, the mediator. Let these go their way. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And do not we see it in verse 8? If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. What an act of love. A certain lieutenant in the Second World War was directing artillery fire on an Italian town to stop the German advance. While doing so, the Germans moved near to his position, realizing that his own men were nearby and in great danger. He called for an artillery strike on where he was. His men later retook the position and found his body annexed to 100 dead German troops. And they placed a medal on his chest. What love, what bravery of that lieutenant. He knew the Germans were right on top of him, and he called for a strike. He gave his life to save his men. What love. But in a far greater way, consider the love of Christ. He gave his life to save his brethren, his friends. What love. Whom seek ye? In great love, our Lord here in the Garden of Gethsemane was thinking of me. And you. What love, he was willing to suffer more. What love, he was willing to be betrayed. What love, he would go all the way to the cross of Calvary. Greater love had no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Take comfort in the love of Christ here this morning. All is well for your soul. Because he willingly in love said, "Whom seek ye?" All is well for your soul. Your substitute stood in your place. He was taken that you would be set free. Winnevold wrote, "Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." Can I ask you this morning, how will you take the bread? How will you take the cup? Will you do so out of love to Christ, thinking of what he did for you all those years ago? It is but bread, but we remember his broken body. Or will you, with a heart of love, come around the table today? And as we think of the future, oh, to love Jesus more, when we consider his love here in the garden. Well, as we close now, fourthly, the care of Christ. The care of Christ. One more time, come with me to verse 7 and verse 8. Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. What care? We've already thought he was obedient. We thought of his sufferings. We thought of his love. In conclusion, consider his care. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. How he cared for his disciples. They would fail him soon again. Are we not thankful for the care of Christ? He knows we will fail him again, but he will not for one moment stop caring for us. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. He was concerned for you, dear child of God. He desired your happiness. He wanted to be taken so that you would not suffer for all eternity. He knew the disciples would be fearful. Let these go their way. He is our substitute with such care in his heart. He knew the struggles they would face. He knows your struggles. The help we needed was laid on him. Psalm 89 verse 19. The help we needed in redemption as a whole, in every part of that, in every part of our journey, it was laid on him. Oh, what a helper we have, who so cares for our soul. Again, I did not know that the pastor of Totten Evangelical Church would be here before I did this sermon. But let me mention a certain illustration. Pastor Marshall would know this man called Mr. Dance, and he would visit him often himself. I remember that each night certain ones in the congregation would go to help him to bed. Well, it was the turn of my father on Wednesday, and he took me along sometimes. And I remember one time we came to the house there in Bagborough Road, and the doctor was there. And the doctor was talking to Mrs. Dance. Mr. Dance was in his bedroom, and my dad said, "Will you go in and see Mr. Dance?" And I went in. He was crying because of the pain. He was sat up in his bed, this old Victorian room, this old Victorian bed. There he was crying. Well, I was so nervous. I was quite young. I didn't know what to say. So I sat down at the foot of the bed. And in tears, he said this to me, "How are you doing, my son?" What love, what concern. He was the one in agony. I should have spoken first. Are we not thankful that Christ speaks to us first, to make known his love to us? As a boy, my mum had to be taken to hospital and stay there for a while. I don't know the reason why, but I remember she had to be taken there. And I was not allowed into the ward to see my mum. I was quite young, along with my sister. We wanted to go and visit mum for a while. My grandparents took me and my sister to Southampton Hospital and parked near as they could to the block where my mum was in hospital staying. And then I remember my granny saying, "Look out the window and look up." And we looked up, me and my sister, we were only very young, to see my mum near the window with a smile waving at us. She was in hospital. She had faced something. But she was concerned for her children. And there she was. She had come near to the window. And she was waving. She was right up in the block. And we had to look up. And my granny said, "Look there." There my mum was waving. You see the concern, the care. Oh, from heaven, Christ has such a care for you. And we see it here in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember in that high priestly prayer in John 17 verse 11, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." You see there that prayer to the Father, "Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, keep them." And here's the Redeemer, the Mediator in the garden. "If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. I'm going to care for them. I'm going to protect them." And he's still doing it, isn't he? He's caring for us. He's protecting us. At times we may question, "Lord, where art thou?" You remember on the Lake of Galilee in that storm, our Lord was asleep. The disciples came. "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" They awoke him. "Carest thou not?" And you know, at times we seem to say such things. "Lord, look at the situation I'm going through. Where art thou?" He cares though. He always cares. And we have a great evidence of it here in the garden. How he so loves you. How he so cares for you. What a Redeemer in his sufferings cared for you. Well, he's on the throne and he's continuing to care. Cast all your care on him, for he careth for you. All will be well because he suffered for you and he cares for you. Oh, let us consider Christ now. What love that he was willing to obey the Father, but also suffer for you. And how he cared for you. As his sufferings intensified, his care was constant. What a Saviour we have. Amen. Before we come to the table, Psalm 22, verses 16 through to verse 23 in the tuner's minva. Psalm 22, verses 16 through to verse 23 and the tuner's